Welcome to Health Freedom Radio, live and local. From the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Now, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. I'm Julie Boris, and I'm here with Lisa Mayer.
Hello.
And this is Health Freedom Radio. Health Freedom Radio is a new show airing weekly Tuesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on WCRN Radio Central. And we'll be talking about all things health freedom uncensored. I want to start by thanking today's show sponsors, Health Rights MA and My Salon Suites in Westboro and Leominster. And just like my friends at Health Rights MA and My Salon Suites, we believe all people have the fundamental, inalienable right to make their own health decisions for themselves and their families, free from coercive tactics and bribery and mandates, and that no one should ever be forced into any medical procedure against their will before they can live, work, or go to school.
Amen.
Thank you. Before we get underway, quick disclaimer, we are not representing any organization. The views expressed on the show today are our own, and the views of our guests are their own, or callers. And also, we are not medical doctors or attorneys and are not offering any medical or legal advice, although Lisa is a health professional, healthcare professional. Okay, so in just a little bit, we're going to be talking about how we get out of the matrix. And once you're out of the matrix, kind of like, how do you live outside the matrix? The big question is, you know, what is the matrix? What are you talking about? And it's this control grid. That's kind of how I think of it. That kind of has like a narrative on top, which we see in our society today. Who to watch, who to follow, influencers, celebrities, sports, you know, like all these things, right? And what we're supposed to believe versus, oh, wait a minute, if I just look a little bit more into what I'm being told. And so it's kind of like what we're supposed to believe versus the truth. And, you know, it's that defining moment in the movie, The Matrix, where you either have to choose the red pill and learn the truth, which will be hard, or you can take the blue pill and stay in the matrix and be none the wiser. So
but
today,
be happy and comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an uncomfortable truth. But, you know, we have to face these because, you know, we've ignored it for so long that it's becoming a massive problem. So we'll be talking a little bit later today about ways to find like-minded people, where you can go to get more information, what are favorite sources of news, and my favorite documentaries, and Lisa's favorite doctors that are heroes. But before we can end this nightmare, we actually have to put a stop to what I call the control grid that's being built around us as we speak. And it is largely being done in the form of legislation at the state level with grant money from the federal government that comes with all these strings attached, right? What they want you to do with this money. And if you don't comply, no money for you, city or town in Massachusetts. Not only can you not have this money, but maybe we're going to take away some other money. And it's being done without the knowledge, really, of 99% of the people that it's going to affect. Well, Massachusetts has many pieces of control grid legislation either already passed into law, like the MBTA Communities Act, that people are really waking up to and they're going, wait, what? What do they want to do in our town? And we have to do it? And we have to go to our town meeting to vote it in, but we have to do it anyway?
And this is what happens when you don't pay attention and then you realize, oh no, I should have been paying attention.
Right.
All along, and maybe I could have prevented this situation.
Right. And like, what is a grant really? It's money from the federal government. And then if you get it, you have to just do all these things. So it's a way for them to control us with quite literally our own tax dollars. So there is a bill related to public health that we should all be very concerned about. Everyone should take action immediately. I mean, really, Chicken Little, I'm sounding the alarm. The sky is falling. So there's a piece of legislation that is currently before the Massachusetts legislature that I'm really concerned about. It's H-4101, and then the Senate version is Senate 1334. And it has serious potential effects for the public. It's referred to as the Statewide Accelerated Public Health for Every Community Act. They call it SAFE 2.0. And this bill aims to reshape our public health infrastructure. We now have these regional alliances, not only the financial costs, but even more importantly, the personal costs to our rights and freedoms. So I have an attorney here. His name is Peter Vickery. He was on the show a few weeks ago, episode 7, I believe. I recommend that you listen to it. I want to roll a clip, what he has to say about SAFE 2.0.
One of the things that I noticed is in the definition section, foundational public health services. It's defined as a nationally recognized framework for a minimum set of public health services, including but not limited to public health programs and foundational capabilities. And this definition really matters because it's not solid. It's a moving target. And the entity that decides what it means is not the legislature. It's not even the Department of Public Health. It's some other entity at the national level that's not accountable to anybody. It's an organization, a kind of self-appointed organization or group of organizations that decide what the term foundational public health services means. And one of the problems with that is not only what they come up with as foundational public health services, but just as a constitutional matter, the General Court of Massachusetts should not be contracting out to some self-appointed organization in another state the business of defining what a term in Massachusetts law means. So sometimes the legislature does this in a way that is perfectly sensible, like the air quality laws in California. We have laws that say our air quality laws are going to track those of California. Okay, at least you can find out what the air quality laws of California are, and there's somewhere you can look. You know, they're enacted by the legislature of California or by some agency that is, albeit in some attenuated way, responsible to elected officials in California. But that's not what we have here. This is a definition that empowers a non-legislative, non-governmental body to essentially make law. So I think that's the fundamental problem with this bill. Some of the other issues I'm not so sure about the federal funding requirement and other things in the talking points, but that's the one thing I really want to draw your attention to, is this definitional issue that I think is cause in and of it is sufficient reason to just defeat this. I wouldn't get drawn into the amendment business. So one thing I would say is that this is where the bill is particularly confusing in the definition section. So it's section 27D, they're amending section 27D, and foundational public health services means a nationally recognized framework for a minimum set of public health services, including but not limited to public health programs and foundational capability. So this is what the statute would say that term means. But there's a part later on that muddies the waters by saying that they'll take those national standards into account when developing standards in coordination with other entities. Oh, here we are. Okay, it's C, the last sentence of C. The standards shall consider national standards. Well, first of all, just as a matter of language, standards are inanimate concepts. They're not sentient things. They can't consider anything. Standards are things that human beings create. They're intangible things. So first of all, just linguistically, this is gibberish. The standards shall consider national standards. Perhaps they mean the drafters of the standards shall consider national standards and shall be developed in consultation with local boards, public health organizations, academic experts, in the field of public health and members of the Special Commission on Local and Regional Public Health established in Chapter 3 of the Resolves of 2016. So the standards are sort of defined twice. Just from a drafter's point of view, this is eye-wateringly bad. To be clear, it defines a thing in one way, in one part of the bill, and then says that somebody else is going to define it by taking into account those national standards in a different part of the bill. It needs to go back to the drafting room.
Okay, so he said a lot there, and you can find that video, and you can re-listen to the show, but you can also find that video at healthrightsma.org, the sponsor of our show. And I think this is a time that everyone needs to take action. So what you can do, go to the show notes on healthfreedomradio.org and you'll find links to take action and sign a petition and send a letter drafted by Attorney Peter Vickery, and along with a video, a different video that's 8 minutes long and very legal and professional, explaining the letter that he has written and why this bill is problematic and needs to be sent back to the drawing board. The second thing you can do, and it's so important, pick up the phone. You can go to malegislature.gov and look up your house, your rep and your senator, and you're going to call them on the phone. You're going to call their office. Probably a very nice person will answer the phone and just have a conversation. Say, I'm a citizen. You know, I live in your district. It's so important that you call in.
Right. And you can just say, please vote down the SAFE bill. Like something as simple as that. You don't have to be, you know, fully eloquent like our attorney here.
Right. They just need to know a lot of people. This bill passed unanimously last session, and we need to make sure that does not happen this time, because people have now had a chance to look at it. It's 10 pages. Very complicated. All right. We're up against the break. So stay with us after the break for more live and local radio from the center of New England, the center of the dial, the center of information, Radio Central. You can also find this all at healthfreedomradio.org. We're breaking the matrix.
Are you a beauty or wellness professional looking to take your career to the next level? Has your career plateaued and you're looking to kickstart your ability to improve your professional and financial situation? Have your skills and clientele grown faster than your earnings? And would you love to work in a drama-free collaborative environment that impresses your clients and is uniquely you? Hi, my name's Ed, and my wife Amy and I own the My Salon Suite locations in Lemonster and Westboro. If you're a beauty and wellness professional, or you know someone who is, who has a passion for helping people look and feel their best, and you're looking to level up your career to achieve new heights of professionalism and profitability, we'd love to talk to you. We're building communities of thriving entrepreneurs who know the value of offering clients an amazing experience in an upscale, safe, state-of-the-art environment. Give us a call today at 508-500-9000 or visit mysalonsuite.com/Lemonster or /Westboro to set up a confidential tour. Mention Health Freedom Radio and get your first rental week free.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial, or WCRNradio.com. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Health Rights MA. The mission of Health Rights MA is to ensure that the fundamental human right to bodily autonomy, including the right to exercise informed consent and the right to privacy of all personal medical information, is legally protected in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in regard to all medical treatments and procedures. And if you're a listener from Massachusetts and you have a story to share about injury or loss from the COVID-19 shot, or if you lost your job or access to education because you chose not to get a liability-free experimental COVID-19 injection, please share your story at healthrightsma.org. Go to the top menu and you'll find a tab to share your story. So The other thing I wanted to let you know, we're going to have a t-shirt giveaway because our t-shirts are in full swing and they are on our website. So if you go to healthfreedomradio.org, you're going to find a lot of things today. You're going to find the show notes, which there's so many things we want to talk about today. It's almost a joke. So we made really long show notes and we're going to talk about some of our top favorites. You can listen to the podcast right on the website now. And so all the episodes are up. We're all caught up to date. And we'll try to get this episode up today. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and on the Podbean app. And each show now has full show notes where we list all of our guests and speakers and links. And today will be, again, a mile long of show notes. And, of course, you'll find our merch on the website. So if you just, again, subscribe to our email list between now and next week's show, we're going to choose a winner and pick a free t-shirt of your choosing. I also want to mention one more thing, which is Health Freedom Radio is now on Instagram at Health Freedom Radio and Twitter at Health Free Radio because it didn't fit. It was too long. So, Lisa, you're going to kick off with our top, well, we want to be top 40, but it'll probably really be like maybe as many as we can, 10. Ways about exiting the matrix and where we can find truthful information that's not funded by big corporations. So you actually did a lot of the show notes this week. So I'm going to let, and you're our health professional. So you're going to tell us about your favorite kind of hero doctors that you love to follow and some and Substacks, which to me, Substack is like the new platform where people are having really intelligent, they're not really having conversations as much as putting out information. It's just a blog platform. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know, I feel like anybody that's talking about anything has a Substack.
Yep. And it's independent. And that's what I love.
Right. It's right? Uncensored.
So before the break, Attorney Vickery had shared his thoughts about the SAFE bill, right? And what really struck me about that is how so many of our bills, so much of our legislation has layers upon layers of complexity. And so it's very nebulous who's actually making the rules and how are these rules being made. So getting into legislation, as anything else, it's really hard to cut to the truth, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's what we're all about here. We're all about finding the truth. And that's why I have such immense gratitude for these doctors who throughout the pandemic have been speaking the truth, even at great cost to themselves. They have lost funding. They've lost their jobs. They've sustained the, you know, ridicule of their peers. But they stood strong in what they knew to be the truth. And one of them is Dr. Peter McCullough. Love him. He's an internist, a cardiologist. He's an epidemiologist. He's the most published author in his field. He's got over 1,000 publications and hundreds of citations. And he noticed early on in the pandemic that the establishment was not researching effective early treatment. And so he set himself to that task and he put his brilliant mind to it, his teams to it, and he found effective treatment. And he tried to share that with the establishment, but they were not interested. He has testified extensively to the government about these early treatments and also later about the dangers of the COVID vaccines, especially as it's related to the cardiac dangers like myocarditis and pericarditis.
And one of the biggest crimes of the COVID debacle, I will call it, is that they censored the information about early treatments so that people did not have to, when people, someone says they died of COVID, I said, did they die of COVID or did they die of hospital protocols?
Or a lack of early treatment.
And a lack of early treatment. Exactly. Those two things together caused a lot of people to die needlessly. And that was wrong. And people just seem to want to sweep it under the rug and forget about it. But there's Dr. Corey, right?
Well, it's almost too terrible to think about that our government allowed that to happen and almost even made that happen. Hundreds of thousands of people died because they weren't treated early. Yeah. So yes, so that's Dr. Peter McCullough. And you can go to the show notes for all of the links for their websites and Substack. So I recommend you go there. I won't waste our time, you know, reading those. So the next doctor that I wanted to recommend or mention is Dr. Pierre Corey, another one researching early treatment. And he was really big in the ivermectin. You remember the horse paste? that we weren't supposed to take and stop it, y'all, you know, all of that, all how dangerous it is. Meanwhile, it's a Nobel Prize winning medication, right, that has been used by billions of people throughout the world, and they tried to make it sound dangerous and ineffective. Well, I just want to say all medications have multiple effects. So although ivermectin is used primarily for parasites, yes, it is also used for antiviral activity. It has multiple mechanisms of action. And so anyway, Dr. Pierre Corey, researching this, testifying on this, also begging our government to tell us, you know, to share that and make it available with the public to save lives. He's an ICU doctor, and he also wrote a book called The War on Ivermectin, which I highly recommend taking a peek at. All right. And let's see. So we do have a clip of Dr. Pierre Corey testifying to the government. Maybe we will play that after.
We're looking for the clip of Pierre Corey. Okay. So I want to just set this up because it was 3 years ago that this clip was played where he is speaking before the congressional hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he tried
when
to tell
many
us.
Lives could have been saved.
All right. Do we have that one, Ted?
Months. We do not have months. We have 100,000 patients in the hospital right now dying. I'm a lung specialist. I'm an ICU specialist. I've cared for more dying COVID patients than anyone can imagine. They're dying because they can't breathe. They can't breathe. They're on high flow oxygen delivery devices. They're on non-invasive ventilators, and or they're sedated and paralyzed and attached to mechanical ventilators that breathe for them. And I watch them every day. They die. By the time they get me in the ICU, they're already dying. They're almost impossible to recover. Early treatment is key. We need to offload the hospitals. We are tired. I can't keep doing this. If you look at my manuscript, and if I have to go back to work next week, any further deaths are going to be needless deaths, and I cannot be traumatized by that. I cannot keep caring for patients when I know that they could have been saved with earlier treatment, and that drug that will treat them and prevent the hospitalization is ivermectin.
Okay, you felt the passion in his voice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And many doctors like that. Look at our show notes, Dr. Tess Lori, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, and Dr. William Mackis. Dr. Toby Rogers, trying to save lives desperately because they knew how to save people, but the government wouldn't let them.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have time to play that Tess Lori clip? It's very short. Do you want to set that up, who she's talking to? And we can play it after the break if that's if we don't have time. So we have another clip of Tess Lori, who was talking about ivermectin as well.
So she's a highly respected Cochrane collaboration researcher. She did a rapid review on ivermectin, found it very effective. She worked with Dr. Andy Hill, who was doing a meta-analysis on ivermectin for the World Health Organization. And they agreed, like, this is amazing. This is going to save lives. 75% decrease in mortality. And they were totally on board. And then when he published his paper, he recommended more research instead of immediate deployment. So here's her calling him out on that.
I'm in a very sensitive position here.
People are in sensitive positions. They're in hospital and ICU's dying and they need this medicine.
Well,
this is what I don't get. You know, because you're not a clinician, you're not at the coal face, you're not seeing people dying every day. And this medicine prevents deaths by 80%. So 80% of those people who are dying today don't need to die because there's ivermectin.
There are a lot, as I said, there are a lot of different opinions about this. As I said, some people
simply... We're looking at the data. It doesn't matter what other people say. We are the ones who are tasked with the, and we have the experience to look at the data and reassure everybody that this cheap and effective treatment will save lives. It's clear.
So you heard her begging him, and he knew what the data was, and his funding depended on him having that opinion. There could not be effective treatment for COVID if we were going to deploy the vaccines.
Exactly.
Right. So you just got a glimpse of what happened behind the scenes. One brave researcher
who recorded a Zoom call with someone from the WHO who agreed with her and then all of a sudden
changed his opinion because that's what they wanted.
Right. So we're up against a break again. So stay tuned with us for more live and local radio from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information. It's Radio Central. You can also listen to all of our episodes on healthfreedomradio.org. And please check out today's show notes. So important. Actions to take. And we'll be back. We're breaking the matrix. We're breaking the matrix.
WCRN. You're listening to Health Freedom Radio, live and local, on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. So before the break, we were talking about ways to get outside the matrix, especially outside the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. How do we find the information that we need if the mainstream media is telling us one thing and we're kind of seeing with our own eyes that it is not exactly the truth? So we were talking about some doctors. Lisa, there's a couple you wanted to mention, and then we're going to move on to our next category.
Yes. So look at the show notes because we can't do any of them justice in this quick format. But I also wanted to mention Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He was one of those fringe epidemiologists that Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins wanted to take down in a devastating takedown because they were talking about lockdowns actually causing more harm than good. The audacity. And meanwhile, that was the wisdom before COVID even started. So check them out. Check out Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. And he's got a great Substack called Illusion of Consensus. And he's got videos and podcasts and really great. And one quote from him is he said, "The illusion of scientific consensus throughout the COVID-19 pandemic led to disastrous policies." And isn't that the truth?
That is so true. I want to mention one more thing, organization really quick that I love. It's called We the People 50, and it's an amazing group of medical doctors, scientists, and other experts in related fields that are working on recalling the shots and willing to speak to your lawmakers and your public health officials anywhere in the country, really. They'll come, they'll Zoom, they'll do whatever you need. And they'll give them a presentation about what's really going on. And they did that before the Massachusetts legislature and public health officials. And it's available for the public at healthrightsma.org. And we also just have one Substack that Lisa and I both love. And we have to mention it again. We mentioned it last week. But it is called Coffee and COVID. And you can find it on Substack. And it's by attorney Jeff Childers. And it is, I don't know, how would you describe it?
He's hilarious. He's unique. He's brilliant. And he has a great way of describing things that are just terrible and absurd, but in such a funny way that you actually leave uplifted.
Yeah,
so it actually uplifts you.
Yeah, a few times at least once a day, I laugh out loud at just his choice of words. He's just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. So we have to recommend that one. And then just another favorite website. But again, we're not going to be able to touch on all these today. But the Brownstone Institute is a favorite of both Lisa and mine and Jeffrey A. Tucker. And there was a tweet this morning and I just have to read it. And he just says, he just says it like it is. Bottom line of our times, if they will forcibly shut down your school, business, church, travel, and speech, and then later force an injection of an untested, ineffective, and dangerous tax-funded product on you, and never utter a word of apology for any of it, what won't they do?
Right.
Right?
And that's the scary thing. That is the scary thing. But that really makes it very clear what happened.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Right? And there's so many great writers at the brownstoneinstitute.org website. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, in the show notes. One of the things I really wanted to talk about today is some of the amazing documentaries that have been made, you know, not just since the beginning of COVID, but many since the beginning of COVID, and many, you know, real old ones. But they're so great, and they explain so much. And we have some favorites, and I listed a lot of them on the website. But if you haven't seen the Big Reset movie, that's one of my favorites. That really gives this overarching explanation of what's going on, mm-hmm. and how we, you know, this kind, there is a global effort to control us. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how else to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that gives you a really clear picture. And what I love about these is you can go, you know, research all the things in the film yourself. You're going to come to the same conclusion. And so we're recommending our favorites. There's so many more, I'm sure. And also the Plandemic series by Mickey Willis, mm-hmm. which they're making into a musical, which I can't wait.
Which is very interesting to me.
Plandemic, the musical.
I guess they wanted to make it cheerier. Like, well, Jeff Childers.
We have to laugh. If we don't laugh and we just like forget about art and music and all of those things that make, I don't know, the world a great place to live.
Right. All science and logic and legislation makes us very dull girls.
I know.
So we need,
I know,
a little art.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a film that I love called Anecdotals, which was made at the very beginning of the pandemic after the shots rolled out the first round. And there was a woman I met, her name is Jennifer Sharp, and she created a film, Anecdotal. She was injured from the vaccine. She willingly, I don't know if she willingly took it or she was forced to do it. She lived out in LA and she was a filmmaker and she lived in that world. And so she got the first one and she got injured. And so she couldn't take the second one. And all of a sudden she was a dangerous anti-vaxxer and she wasn't allowed to go out to lunch with her friends and all that. And then she kind of said, you know, she kind of put aside everything she believed in and she went as a researcher and she flew all over the country and she made a film about the first round of people that were really speaking up about vaccine injury early on. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really great film. What are your favorites?
In the psychology of what happened to her is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
She was on the team and then something terrible happened and she was shunned by her friends and loved ones. Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
That can happen. But just on that note, there are, if you really dig these vaccine injury stories, Senator Ron Johnson also had some vaccine, you know, he had some hearings about that. You can listen to those. The link is in one of them at least is in our show notes. Just in general, with vaccines in general, before the COVID vaccine, Del Bigtree made a documentary called Vaxxed.
Yeah, then he made Vaxxed 2, and he traveled all over the country, mm-hmm. and he interviewed people that had their children had been injured by the childhood vaccines. And that's something I've seen thousands and thousands of stories, mm-hmm. And have my own story, of course. One of my favorite films is called Monopoly, Who Owns the World?
This is something we all need to understand.
Yes. This will break you outside the matrix. This mm-hmm. will make you understand, oh, wait, like, you know what I just found out? Dave's Killer Bread is owned by a mega corporation.
Aww.
Like, didn't you think that was a small?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so, too. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad bread. I'm just saying it's not a small family-owned farm. Like, kind of makes you think on the package and that kind of. And I bought it because I believed. But then, looks, you know, lo and behold, they're owned by a mega corporation.
One thing I've learned is how easy it is to make your own bread with no additives.
Yeah, or your own apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. That's super easy.
Your own fire cider.
Yep, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
like we learned at the apothecary, the Time Apothecary.
Right, exactly. Another of my favorite films, this one's near to my heart, is Noncompliant, the movie. Mm-hmm. And that was right at the beginning of COVID, it's not really a movie, but she did a talk, and it's attorney Chris Ann Hall. And she's now president of Liberty First Association, and she does travel all over the country teaching about the Constitutional Republic and states' rights and how important they are and how we have them. And this is where the problem lies right now, which we were talking about, is the control grid of legislation that's being flooded into our state and every state across the country. It's happening in every state. and every sector, not just public health. That's the one that we talk about, but also, the Communities Act, and then the privacy, updating our privacy, and all these things are all happening at the same time, and surveillance and technology and AI. And, all these decisions are being made by people that I really don't think have the our constitutional interests at heart.
And I want to say, it all sounds very complex, right? Because we have to learn about all these ways that they're taking away our freedom. But I think that one way to just really focus your efforts and be efficient is to vote for politicians and legislators who are committed to the Constitution, who are committed to small government, who talk about upholding your freedom.
I agree with you. It's so important right now. Our freedoms are under attack. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it. By the owners of the monopoly. Mm-hmm. Another film that I just want to mention, because it is coming to Massachusetts and Rhode Island very soon, it's called Common Ground. Lisa, what did you find out about that? Because you did the research on this.
So that is, it's about regenerative farming. Right. And it's just it's a effort to encourage more regenerative farming,
which means farming without pesticides and genetically modified seeds and stop poisoning our food, which we're going to talk about in the next section. We're going to be talking all about food. So this film, and again, go to the show notes at healthfreedomradio.org and you will find all of these and many more links to great documentaries and films and some videos. And we didn't even get to books in our list and organizations that you can support that are fighting back. But I just want to mention the dates for the Common Ground. April 15th, Newport, Rhode Island. April 18th, Williamstown, Mass. April 21st, Lowell, Mass. And April 22nd in Wellfleet, Mass. And we can start, by going out and seeing and supporting these films and sharing this information with friends.
Right. And then just one more film that I want to mention, and it's a book that we probably all read, and I highly recommend revisiting it, is 1984.
I watched it this weekend, Lisa.
Yep. When you watch it, when you read it, you're going to say, oh, wow, that just happened to us.
Right. It's all about the news speak and how the information would come in to the news reader, and he would have to use newspeak. Oh, and they updated, what I thought was crazy? I don't know how often, but they would update the newspeak dictionary. And as one of these news speakers, you had to go get the updated dictionary so you knew exactly what language to use when you spit out the government propaganda.
And just think about how our language is being controlled now. They had the Ministry of Truth in 1984, and Biden literally tried to create a Ministry of Truth.
He absolutely did. That did not go over very well. No. And you know what? Although they don't have it anymore, they just moved it somewhere else.
Right. In that big nebulous bureaucracy.
Exactly. All right, we're coming up on a break. Stay with us for more Live and Local radio from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central. We're breaking the matrix.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial, or at WCRNradio.com. So before the break, we were talking about some films and documentaries. We did run out of time. We did want to mention some news sources real quick, and then we're going to start talking about food. What were the news sources that we...
So one news source that I have really started to love over the last few years is the Epoch Times.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like they are independent and they are fearless in their truth telling as well.
It seems to me like the only newspaper besides... I also really like the local paper, Boston Broadside, which yes. is great. And then thehighwire.com is a great
Yeah, they have
source.
A show every Thursday. They talk about a variety of different things, mostly things that impact our health, mm-hmm. like that the government is doing.
Yeah. That's, that I would say, the best 2 hours every week. And then CHDTV mm-hmm. Is another great news source. But I want to turn to food because, honestly, you know, it's so important and it's such a big part of what we're dealing with today because quite literally, like, everything we eat is poison. Like, everything packaged, pesticides on our food, genetically modified, like, vaccinating, all the pork is vaccinated and it has been so for many years with mRNA vaccines. So who your farmer is so incredibly important. And so this one website, it's actually a website and an influencer on social media. I don't know his last name. He goes by Matthew at My Health Forward. So I think knowing your farmer is really important. And he has a farm map where you can go and you can look and you can find all of the farms in your area. And they're color-coded by, you know, if they have meat, if they have dairy, if they're fruit and vegetables, you know, farm stand. So you can get all the information. And there's so many more farms in Massachusetts than you would think. So go to the show notes to find My Health Forward. Yes.
And it's not only about health, but the fresh stuff that comes locally is so much better. Mm-hmm, you'll mm-hmm. be amazed.
It's not packaged and
yeah,
like, you
it's,
know,
it's fresh. Yeah, it's, yeah, yeah. It's yeah, not yeah. old.
Yep. We have on the line with us right now one of my farmers. Her name is Chris Ann. She is from Walnut Lane Farms, and she is one of the places that I purchase my meat, and I go and I pick it up right from her 10 minutes down the road from my house. So, Chris Ann, thanks for coming on this morning. Good morning.
Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So, you have a farm. Where's your farm, Chris Ann?
Yeah, we farm in Dudley, which is sort of south central Worcester County.
Mm-hmm. And so,
right next to Connecticut.
Yeah, and what products do you have?
So our main focus is grass-fed and finished beef that we raise here from they're born here and they're here all their lives. And we practice. You guys just talked about Common Ground coming, the movie coming. That's actually the second movie. The first movie in that series was called Kiss the Ground, and it's all about regenerative agriculture, and that's what we do here. We intensively graze our beef cattle
so that they're grass-fed. And why, and you know, I think most people have heard that grass-fed is healthier than other feeds, non-grass-fed or non-organic, so what's
right.
what's really the big difference? I mean, I know we don't have a ton of time, but can you give us kind of in a nutshell why you want to eat grass-fed meat?
So on the health front, grass-fed and finished beef, because it's important. Most cattle are grass-fed most of their lives. But then a lot of them, to speed up the process and make the, you know, the food system more efficient, they're fed grain at the end of their lives. So just like, you know, people, if they want to put on weight, they eat a lot of grain or that's how people do it, whether they want to put on weight or not. So cattle are pushed a high grain diet at the end of their lives so that they gain faster, put on more fat, and then they can be processed sooner. So our cows take a lot longer because they only eat grass. They still have plenty of fat in the meat, but it just takes a longer time to get there. So grass-fed beef and finished beef has higher conjugated linoleic acid, which a lot of people think helps with fat burning and antioxidant and immunity stuff. It also has a better omega-3 to omega-6 ratio than grain-fed beef.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a couple things. Plus, we think it tastes better and has more taste, you know, a beefier taste because the animals live longer.
Right. So it's so important to know that just because a package says grass-fed doesn't mean it's 100% grass-fed. And where did it come from? Did it come from New Zealand?
Exactly.
Australia. Where did it come from? Did it fly all the way across the globe to get to me?
And then right. get flown to China for processing and sent back?
Is that what happened?
That does happen.
Oh, my gosh.
At least 85% of the grass-fed, not even grass-finished, but the grass-fed beef that you can buy, like, in the local market, it comes from somewhere foreign. It's not American-raised. And they just changed the ruling on packaging and labeling, but it could be labeled as a product of America as long as it was processed here.
Hmm.
So it didn't have to be grown here, but they just changed that now. I'm sure it hasn't been reflected in packaging yet, but that did pass.
Wow. So, Chrisanne, do you have any walnuts?
We actually, it's been Walnut Lane Farm since before our family came here. We've been here since 1910.
Oh, wow.
But it was Walnut Lane Farm when the Kepkes bought it way back when. And we have a lot of hickory trees, like pignut hickories, mm-hmm. and those are a form of walnut. They don't. So it's, we have less than we used to trees, but in the fall, you know, when the hickory nuts fall, we have a ton of them all over the road.
And can those be eaten?
They can be. It's a lot of work, but they can be. We have some diehards that come out every year, and you see them parked on the side of the road, and they're picking up hickory nuts.
Oh, I love that.
All right. So, Christiane, thanks for calling in. Where can people find out more about your farm and how they can connect with you, their local farmer, to get grass-fed meat? And you have beef and also?
Pork and chicken.
And pork and
eggs.
And eggs. Okay.
Yep.
And where you can, you know, there's local pickup, or you can go to her farm, and which you said is in Dudley, Mass. And what's your website, Christiane?
It's walnutlanefarm.com.
Awesome.
Pretty straightforward. And we're on Instagram and Facebook a little bit. I'm not a big social media influencer by any stretch, but we have a slight presence.
And you can find all, if you go to our show notes at healthfreedomradio.org, you can find a link to Walnut Lane Farm. You can also find a link to My Health Forward, so you can find that farm map and find all of the farms in your area. I went to a conference that was at Weston A. Price Foundation, which is all about food and farming. And I was so inspired. I went on a farm tour while I was there. The day I came home, I'm like, I'm not going back to work today. I'm taking the day off. And I drove to like 6 farms and I just checked them all out and tried to get raw milk, which is very hard. It's like gold. It's harder to buy than gold. It really is, or a diamond. It's crazy. So there are, Lisa, there's a book that you wanted to mention.
Well, yeah, Christiane mentioned that people come and forage those chicory nuts from the road, right? Yeah. Which is so cool. But I love that concept of just being able to live off the land if we had to, you know, if everything just went down and we didn't have access to food. There's this book called The Forager's Guide to Wild Foods by Nicole Apelian, and there is a link to it in our show notes, but you can look where all of these edible foods are that are very nutritious in your area. There's colored pictures and there's maps on where to find them, and I just think this would be a great book to have. Even if you don't use it right now, it would be great to have, just in case.
I agree, Lisa. And I think having books on hand is really important because, you know, just with everything going on with technology, and you always hear, oh, you know, what if we lost all of our power? What if we lost, like, those things, like, they
right,
do happen.
The grid or the satellites. Yeah.
Okay. So we have 2 minutes left on our list of, like, I don't know, 100 things we wanted to talk about today. one of my favorites is how to get out of Obamacare. That was the most freeing thing for me, is that I didn't have to pay. It was like something like $500 a month for whatever Blue Cross or Heart, one of the main, you know, insurance that I'd never used. Mm-hmm. I never used it, and it infuriated me. And this was a way out for me. So if you're either an independently owned business, or you work for yourself, or even if you just have a side gig, like even if a full time job, if you like, you know, have a side gig, you can get this medical share plan and opt out. And for me, it's so much less money. And then I just use that extra money to pay out of pocket for what I want. And it's been awesome. And I still have that catastrophic safety net should something really bad happen. All right, we have one more minute. What's your last favorite, Lisa, before we have to say goodbye?
Oh, my last favorite. Ooh. Well, I guess I would just say that insurance is a great idea to have that. We kind of need to have that, especially for the catastrophic part. But the most important thing is to stay healthy.
Right.
Right. To stay healthy, to eat whole foods, to take care of yourself, to prioritize sleep and reduce stress and get out and exercise, get out in nature.
Yeah. You want to stay out of the hospital. You want to stay out of the hospital. Okay. That's it for our show today. So be sure to tune in next week and every week for Health Freedom Radio. Go to healthfreedomradio.org, subscribe to our email list, and you'll be entered to win a free Health Freedom Radio t-shirt.
And they're so cool.
And of course, thanks to Health Rights MA and My Salon Suites in Westboro and Leominster for sponsoring our show today. Up next is the Harry Jacobs Show. So stay tuned for more live and local radio at WCRN 8:30 a.m.
You've been listening to Health Freedom Radio on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information. Radio Central WCRN, 8:30 a.m. Stay with us for more live and local radio right here on Radio Central, WCRN, AM 830.